If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Mike Dixon, who's been involved in the British music industry for over 40 years. He's been musical director for more than 20 West End productions, including We Will Rock You, Grease, Aspects of Love, and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. His career has taken him all over the world, working with some of the most iconic artists of the 20th and 21st centuries, including Dame Shirley Bassey, Sir Elton John, Sir Tom Jones, Lady Gaga, and Queen. He's with us on the show to talk about his book. It's called Turn Around and Take a Bow, My Musical Life, and it follows his journey as his exciting and eclectic musical career develops. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you very much, Hannah, and thank you for that lovely intro.
Oh, it's lovely to have you, and what an amazing life you've had so far.
Well, I think really, I still pinch myself, Hannah, I think, which is kind of why I started to write it down. Because if I didn't write it down, I don't think I'd believe that I did some of the things that I've been fortunate enough to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And looking on your website, I had a glance earlier at the link with all the people that you've worked with. And it's incredible, isn't it? It's a who's who of the celeb world.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been so fortunate. And of course, I've been involved in 6 Royal Variety shows over the years. So the number of people that you meet and work with on a Royal Variety is extraordinary, from Lady Gaga to Philip Schofield, with Michael Parkinson in the middle.
Fantastic. So how did your career in the music industry start then? Take us right back to the beginning.
Well, I suppose, really, when you go right back to it, I'm one of those lucky musical people who had a fantastic teacher who I totally trusted and believed in at my grammar school, which was my grammar school was Devonport High School for Boys in Plymouth. And I had this fantastic teacher who seemed like he was in the same generation as me. In truth, he was 15 years older, but he seemed, his taste in music was totally eclectic. So one minute we'd be working on some Richard Strauss or some Michael Tippett, and the next minute we'd be listening to Steel Eyes Span or the Beatles things like that. So I was so lucky at the beginning. And then whilst I was at school, I got involved in doing quite a lot of sort of all the drama stuff and getting involved in the music side of the drama. And that gave me a really good grounding, I suppose, when later on, after I'd done music college, I decided that I would go into musical theatre to start with.
And how do you get to go into musical theatre? How does that happen? What did you do?
Well, yes, I know it does sound so glib when you say it like that, doesn't it? I had this inclination. I remember seeing Godspell and I remember seeing Jesus Christ Superstar when I was 13, 14 years old, and I wanted to know how the musical side of that, all that worked. And so when I was at music college, I went to Trinity College of Music. I specialised at the college in working on accompaniment. So I was doing a lot of classical stuff, French song, German lead, and accompanying all sorts of various people. But in my evenings and in my days off, I was working with a group called the Fulham Music Theatre, who were an Amdram group, and their director was a lovely man called Hugh Halliday, who had all sorts of connections in the West End, and from those connections, and then also I worked for a singing teacher called Ian Adam, who in the 80s, early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, he was the go-to singing teacher. And I used to play for him for his lessons. And so we'd go from having various people like, I don't know, if I throw some names at you. One day we had Terence Stamp, Stephanie Lawrence, who was about to take over or about to do Starlight Express. Yeah. We had Cherry Gillespie from Pan's People and Gay Soper, who is a well-known theatre actress, and Richard Franklin, who was from Doctor Who. So we had, you know, that's the sort of group of people that I was working with on a daily basis when I was in my very, very early 20s. So yeah. I kind of got to know all these funny, weird and wonderful people. And then it was actually Richard Franklin who said to me, "Mike, I'm directing a pantomime. Would you like to be musical director for it?" And that was literally as I was leaving college. So I started, you know, straight away at that point. I was so lucky to be given some opportunities. And of course, if you make the best of your opportunities, there's a sort of rollover effect that happens. And I got asked to do all sorts of other things as well.
Yeah, amazing. So what exactly is the role of a musical director for all those musicals that I mentioned? You know, I'm sure a lot of people have been to the theatre, have seen musicals, love musicals, but maybe don't understand exactly what the role of a musical director would be.
Well, I suppose the face or the back that you're used to seeing is the person in the pit either waving his arms around or arched over a keyboard and looking at the orchestra and looking up at the stage. So that's the one side, is the running of the show musically. But of course, if you're putting together a show from the OCHI, from the very beginning, then you're part of what's known as the creative team. And that creative team, the triumvirate of the creative team who work with the actors and all the musicians, or mostly with the actors to begin with, is the director, choreographer and the musical director, sometimes referred to as the musical supervisor. And sometimes you end up writing arrangements, sometimes you end up writing vocal arrangements, sometimes you end up kind of creating something out of something that the composer has written and actually making it work for the show. And sometimes you just work with the dots that you've got in front of you. So there are many, many different ways and means and sort of how it works, you know.
And with all the shows that you were involved in the West End, which would you say was the one that you were involved the most in, as in you had the most to do, if you like, that you're most proud of?
Well, I suppose, I mean, the big name one would be We Will Rock You, because I was involved in that from the very beginning. And I'm not going to give anything away, because there's quite a lot about that in the book. But here's one little tiny snippet that you might quite like. The song, Somebody to Love, which we all know, was going to be used in the show. Yeah, we all know that song. What they wanted to use it in the show, Ben Elton, and then I was obviously working very closely with Brian May and Roger Taylor on putting the show together musically. And in the second week of rehearsals, during that second week, we went through Somebody to Love, and we had 14 different versions of the vocal, how the vocal lines were going to be for the girls, because it had to be girls singing. So we did 14, or basically I wrote out 14 different versions of Somebody to Love before we settled on the one that we ended up using.
Wow.
So that's a little for, yes. For
how do you make 14 different versions of Somebody to Love?
Well, I mean, it would be just changing a little bit here and there, but enough to make it feel totally different for the girls who were singing it. I mean, you would be keeping to the same routine of the song, but nevertheless, it's the sort of the machinations in the middle of it. You know, how the harmonies fit together, how they sit on top of each other, all that sort of stuff.
Incredible. And are you kind of working round the clock? I mean, does a lot of the work is it more kind of at the beginning, or when you get involved with a project, you're there the whole way through? You're there through rehearsals, you're there the creative process, and you're there every night of the performance, I guess.
Well, one of the lovely things with getting older is that you can become musical supervisor, and musical supervisor does all the bit at the beginning, but then leaves it to the young. I hasten to add young musical director to do the day-to-day running of the show. So for instance, on We Will Rock You again, I did all the rehearsals, and actually I did conduct a lot of the shows for the first couple of years, but then I left it to other people to do. The nice thing now is that if I am involved in a show, I sort of will start it off and leave it to somebody younger and with a bit more energy.
And you say it's a nice thing, but I would imagine that's also a little bit difficult, you know, when you've been involved with it so much, and obviously you know what you're doing, you take pride in what you're doing, presumably enjoy what you're doing, to then step away and leave it in the hands of somebody else. Can that sometimes be tricky?
Well, I think that actually, Hannah, that is a very, very good point. And I remember the very first time that I had to do just that with a show. And it felt a little bit like having a brand new baby and giving it to the childminder for the very first time.
Yes.
it was almost as exposing as that, almost like that. And I, over the years, you know, you get used to it, and you also trust the people, you trust, of course, that implicitly the people that you work with, and you know that you're leaving the show in good hands. And one of the things that I've loved to do as I've got older is helped younger musical directors on their journey, you know. And I like sort of, you know, chatting to them, helping them, giving them a bit of advice here and there. And then, you know, frequently on some of the big shows that I've done, I've been able to use them on the show as well.
And what kind of training and background does someone need to be a musical director? At what stage in kind of your education does somebody say, okay, I'm going to go down the musical director route?
I think a lot of people don't know that they're going to be a musical director. They might be a good piano player. Some musical directors don't play the piano. Most do, because most of the time you need to be able to you know, jump on the piano and show somebody what they need to do. But there are some who don't play the piano, and there are certainly lots of conductors who don't play the piano. But I think there's a for me, certainly, I loved this wonderful thing called drama, and I knew that. You know, that having seen Godspell back when I was 13, I knew that was something that was kind of really important. I wanted to do that job somehow. But how you do, nowadays you can go to the Royal Academy of Music and do a musical director course. Back in the 70s, when I was at music college, there was no such thing. I mean, anything to do with light music and musical theatre and jazz and all those sorts of things was frequently dreadfully frowned upon. But now it's not. And you can go to there are a number of places where you can actually have a musical go for a musical director course.
Yes.
Which I think is really, I think it's brilliant.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
That things have moved on so much.
Yeah, definitely.
No.
And with all
but
the
Hannah, did you
go on.
Sorry, I was just going to say to you, it's just occurred to me, I'm sure you and a number of your listeners will have been watching Glastonbury and all the shenanigans and fun and frolic at Glastonbury. And one of the most extraordinary moments that I have ever had was when I was conducting for Dame Shirley Bassey at Glastonbury back in 2007. And I remember that feeling of walking onto that stage for that particular set of songs that we were doing with Dame Shirley was probably the most exciting moment that I've ever had.
Oh, how wonderful. Mainly because of the crowd and the atmosphere, that obviously, and working with Dame Shirley, I guess everything together.
Yeah. I mean, it is the whole thing. And the fact that Dame Shirley had come in on a helicopter and she had Diamante and Wellington boots.
Yes,
you know, with
I
DSP
remember
on
that.
And all that
yes,
sort of stuff.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So it was extraordinary. And my wife and I, we were given a pass and we didn't come in by helicopter. We drove all the way in to Pyramid Stage, to backstage at Pyramid Stage. We drove my car in to there, in all the mud, through all the rivers of mud, as they were. And I got out, put my Wellington boots on and went into my dressing room, which, again, this is another pinch me moment. So my dressing room was in between Dame Shirley's and The Who. So
brilliant.
This little old me, so Dame Shirley, Mike Dixon, The Who, you know.
Fabulous.
I think, it was just, oh my God, extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary.
I hope you got a photo of all those doors together.
I think I have, actually.
Yeah,
yes, I think
brilliant.
I have.
I'll have
to search for it, but I think I have, yeah.
And have you ever been starstruck at all? I mean, with all the people you've worked with, I'm sure it's all, you know, just a day job. But, I mean, there must have been a moment. I mean, that was obviously pretty cool with the doors and everything. But when you've worked with someone, you thought, my goodness, I can't believe I'm working with this person.
Oh, pretty much all the time. that's the simple answer.
Yeah.
But there was one moment, and that one moment was when I was doing Dr. Doolittle, which was back in 1998, and Leslie Bricus, the wonderful, wonderful writer, composer and lyricist, and, you know, who sadly died last year. But Leslie wrote all sorts of things, including the half of Goldfinger, and, you know, extraordinary. Anyway, he said, how about if we get Julie Andrews to come in and do the voice of Polynesia the parrot? And the us in the creative team went, you mean the Julie? Yeah, you're the Julie Andrews. Yeah. I know Julie Andrews really well. I'll just make a phone call. I'll just make a phone call and see if she'll come and do it. And lo and behold, a week or so later, I'm sitting in a rehearsal room with Julie Andrews beside me, and we're just going over a few of the little scratchy things that she was going to sing, because everything that she was going to do was recorded so that she didn't have to be there every night, and it was also to go with the animatronics of the puppeteering and all that sort of thing. But I was going through My Friend the Doctor, or whatever the song was, and with Dame Julie Andrews sitting next to me, and I stopped playing the piano. I stopped, and I looked at her, and I said, "I'm sorry, I've just stopped. I know, but you're Julie Andrews, and you're sitting next to me. This is extraordinary. This is extraordinary." And she said, "Oh, Mike," and she grabbed hold of my knee, gave it a great big squeeze, and we had a little cuddle sitting next to the on the piano, and off we carried on again. But she was so lovely,
Oh, how wonderful! What a great story. Well, your new book is full of great stories. It's called Turn Around and Take a Bow: My Musical Life. It's by Mike Dixon, who we've been chatting with. The book is available on our website, tre.radio. I can't wait to read it in full. Mike Dixon, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to chat with you.
Lovely to be talking to you, Hannah. Thank you.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.